Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I am John Gordon. My brother from another mother, David Doval, is not with us this week, but you're not stuck just with me, thankfully, for both of us. We have a special guest, Mr. Ron Jarvis, and Ron is the Vice President of Sustainability for the Home Depot. Ron, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning, John?
Excellent. Hey, you have a special honor this morning, and it's not going to change your life a bit, but you are our guest on the 27th anniversary of the Home Improvement Show.
All right. Years. Thank you. It's such an honor.
I can tell you're moved. So, Ron, I was thumbing back. Thanks for making time on a Saturday morning to join us. But I was cruising back through because this is not Ron's first appearance on the Home Improvement Show. Ron, it was almost exactly a year ago that you joined. I thought it was like in the spring, but it was almost exactly a year ago that you joined us. And
time flies.
Pardon me?
I said time flies. It seems like in the spring. Yeah, I agree with you.
It does. And maybe before we get down this path, Ron, just take a second and share a quick bio with our listeners. Who's Ron Jarvis?
Yeah, as you said, I run the sustainability group for Home Depot. It's the title is Chief Sustainability Officer now, and I actually have three other groups inside of Home Depot. We also handle all the overseas audits. So we have teams that goes overseas, and we look at factories that are manufacturing product for Home Depot. We go in, a lot of those unannounced, look for any issues that might be around worker safety and work hours, things like that. We also handle the product safety for the company, and we also handle rebates. So if Georgia Power or Duke Power or any of the utility agencies decide to put rebates on products that help reduce energy use inside of your home, we coordinate that. I've been with Home Depot, and I was thinking when you said 27 years anniversary for the show, it was about 27 years ago when I first met you.
Yeah,
and you were a store manager, I think, at the Pineville store there in Charlotte. Yep. And so we've known each other since, I guess, about the beginning of the show. And so I've had many jobs inside of Home Depot. I've worked in operations, tool rental, merchant. I've been a merchant for most every department inside of Home Depot, except for, I think, flooring and decor and paint. I've had all the other departments as a merchant, which actually really helps in the job that I'm in today, knowing suppliers. I've been all over the world in factories and have seen the way that, you know, the supply chain works throughout the industry. So it helps in this job to have the merchandising background. And so I've been with Home Depot for a little bit over 26 years, 27 years. And before that, I was with a company, a blue box, located up in Mooresville, North Carolina, for about 11 years. So I've been in this industry for about 37 years.
Ron, thanks. Appreciate that. And while I'm thinking of it, the anniversaries and my time as a store manager in Pineville, probably some of the most fun times that I had working for the Home Depot. But I had an associate there named Dub Hope. Ron, I don't remember if I think you actually met Dub. I'm not sure if you remember or not, but Dub was
I did.
So I got some sad news this week. His daughter Teresa called me, and his son-in-law Mitch worked for the Home Depot. I know you know Mitch.
Yes.
But Dub passed away on Wednesday. Yeah, very, very sad, but very, very happy for Dub. But it was, I just want to take 2 seconds and quick tribute to Dub, because that was the most amazing character. He worked for me, technically. At one point, there were three levels of management between Dub and me, but I always felt like he was looking out for me, and the things that he did and helped me with as a new manager were just things that I'm most grateful for still today. So
Yeah, I remember going to the Pineville store, and Dub was, I think he was running your pro department.
He was.
So if I ever wanted to know anything about the pro business or the professional contractor in Charlotte, I would go spend a few minutes with Dub, and he knew it.
He did know it, and he was not bashful. He would tell you everything that was right and everything that was wrong.
Oh, yes. No, I was honored to know Dub.
Prayers and thoughts and great wishes for Dub's family, but certainly gratitude for his life and grateful that he's full of joy and full of peace right now. So good things. Ron, I want backing up on October 17th, 2020, the first show that you joined us with, I started the show with this question. I think I quoted the London Times. And the London Times in 1894 said that in 50 years, every street in London will have 9 feet of horse manure. And we've got to go to a break. But while we go to the break, I think last year I asked you, okay, those folks were pretty pessimistic about what's going to happen with horses in the future. And I think I asked you, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future? And so when we come back, I'll ask you what you think about that, and then we'll tee up some of these discussion topics that I think will be really good. If you're listening, we still have lines open, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We'll talk home improvement, and we'll talk about questions that are important to you and sustainability with the Chief Sustainability Officer of the Home Depot, Ron Jarvis, when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon, and our guest this morning is the Chief Sustainability Officer for the Home Depot, Ron Jarvis. Ron, welcome back.
Thank you, John.
So what do you think? Optimistic about the future from an environmental perspective?
Well, when you asked the question about the great manure crisis in London and the prediction of, was it 50 feet or 9 feet?
Nine feet, yes.
Of horse manure in 50 years, you know, if they hadn't changed, that probably would have come to fruition or have gotten close to it. But one thing about ingenuity and innovation, we typically find a way to make things better, to make things more convenient for us. And that's what they did. You know, luckily in the background during that time in the Industrial Revolution that started around 1850, there was a lot of innovation happening around combustible engines. So some people may look at this and go, hey, we would have been better off with 9 feet of manure in the streets of London than CO2 in the air. But your question is, am I pessimistic or optimistic about the future? I am an eternal optimist, so I'm extremely optimistic about the future. I do think that there's a lot of things that we need to do to get in check.
Yes.
With the environment, with sustainability, and the way that we as humans control our day-to-day lives and what our impact is to the planet. So I'm optimistic. I look at and I've had many jobs in the past 20 years at Home Depot, but I've always had sustainability. So whatever I've done, it's been bolted on to my activities and responsibilities at Home Depot. So 20 years ago, we were talking to the vendors about sustainability and how can they improve their products and what we would like for them to look at to reduce the environmental impact of their products today. And you know, we'll have hundreds of meetings a week, as most major home improvement retailers do, with suppliers and different vendors trying to pitch their products to Home Depot. And the great thing about today, almost every single one of those has a part of the presentation where the supplier talks about their sustainability improvements, what they're doing around sustainability to make their company better than the company that was just in there pitching their goods. So it's no longer us pushing them to move into sustainability. It's them saying, hey, this is our impact. We have more sustainable wood. We've reduced our chemical applications in paint. We found a new way for carpet. So it's cleaner. There's less formaldehyde. It's better for your home. It's better for your health. So we see those every day. So I am very optimistic about what that movement and where the trajectory is of where we're going as industries. I am concerned about the impact that we've already had and the impact that we still have. I mean, so look at the cars that are on 485 and 77. You know, each one of those, most of those are combustible engines. So we're still putting a lot of emissions into the air.
So this is a monstrous category or topic. It's, for me, hard to get my head around. When David and I talk about it, we speak in like generalities and then point to a specific topic that we were on for the particular day. But it's like, okay, we must be good stewards of our environment. That's an imperative. But Ron, I think you did a nice job kind of categorizing. So two things. Help us categorize, like, what are the big ways to think about environmental impacts? And then maybe help us, I call it debunking some of the myths. What are the, I think you say there's three big impacts that we as consumers or inhabitants of this earth have on the environment. So first, what are the big categories, if you will? Oh, do we lose Ron?
Nope, I'm here. Oh, yeah, with sustainability, a lot of people, you know, this is a great way to look at it. It's a great question because so many people look at this and they go, you know, it's like trying to boil the ocean.
Yes.
You know, you throw two tennis balls at me, I'll hit at least one of them back. You throw 1,000, I'm just going to duck. So when people hear sustainability, many people just duck and they go, it's too complicated. I do just the opposite. For me, when I think of, I don't use the word sustainability and ESG and all those global words.
Mm-hmm.
I always go, what are the true impacts? And for big companies, like a company like Home Depot, everything that we sell, you know, we have thousands of touch points coming in from stakeholders every year. I break everything down into five categories. Those categories are carbon emissions, which is basically combustible engines, the main part of that, fossil fuel. The second is chemical exposure. The third is deforestation, which also include mining. The fourth is water use, and the fifth is waste and recycle. But we also include circularity into this. And so if anything that comes in, if we have a supplier comes talk to us about their big sustainability program, I immediately say, what is your impact? What is the one thing that you do? Are you a carpet manufacturer? Do you cut trees? Do you dig up things out of the earth? What is your big impact? And let's kind of not forget, but let's not talk about everything else until later, until we focus on what that big impact is. So when I sit down with a supplier, I immediately put them into one of those five buckets. And when I look at products and when I talk to different, you know, organizations around the earth, I say, okay, what are you mainly concerned about? Is it the air we breathe? Is it the rise in temperature? Is it climate change? Is it chemical uptake? Is it when you walk into a new house, you're allergic to some of the chemicals that are in there? Let's address each one of those separately because that is the best way to improve that. And when you think of humans and consumers, as we go through our lives, and especially now so many people are working from home in your home, you know, what is your environmental impact? It's definitely your transportation. So the car that you drive, even if you drive an electric vehicle, it depends on where you're getting the power to charge those batteries. Are you tied to a clean grid? Are you tied to a green grid that's mostly gas or petroleum or coal? And we actually, I have a program that we look through V-Grid, which is ran by EPA and different organizations that tell us the cleanliness and dirtiness of the grids by zip code. So we can look at areas. And if you go to a place like Vancouver, where it's mostly hydroelectricity,
mm-hmm.
all the things that you're using and charging up there is not hardly emitting any carbon. So there's no CO2 that comes from driving an electric car. You know, we look at that area and say, let's push electricity into that area because everything up there should be electric because to charge it, you're not, you know, emitting carbon.
Right.
So it's we break it down into those categories.
Okay. So there was a question that you asked about like the top three. I'm probably going to get this wrong, Ron, but I think you asked like what did I think the top three impacts of consumers on the environment were? I can't remember.
Yeah, no, it's that too. And I know what you're saying there. It's interesting because I've been privileged I went to NC State, and I've been asked to go back a couple of times and speak to different classes. And I always ask the class in the beginning of the class, I say, what do you think are the biggest impacts that we as humans are having on the earth? And it's funny, as we go through that, you know, it's almost always the same answers. And it depends on who you talk to. And, you know, people get emotional, especially the different stakeholders and environmental groups. Mm-hmm. They may be focused on one aspect and not really care about the others. So as Home Depot, as a major corporation, you have to understand all the impacts. So when someone comes to you and they only have one concern, that you're able to say, yeah, we know that, we've looked at it, and we've done the research. But the three are usually, it depends on where you are in the age group of the,
I understand,
the people you're talking to. But it's usually climate change, global warming, plastic use, and deforestation.
Okay, so that's what they say. And we've got like a minute before a hard break. Is that accurate?
Well, it's, I would say that the carbon emissions, you know, when you think of things that we can do to impact us, you know, chemical exposure, as we use products and it's formaldehyde, we may harm ourselves, but we may not harm the rest of the earth. But when you look at climate change and global warming and the amount of carbon emissions that human is putting into the atmosphere today, whether you believe in climate change caused by man or you don't, to me, it's like having a great pond outside by your house. And, you know, it's a beautiful pond. It's 2-acre pond. Every morning you get up and go out and pull a thimble full of poison into the pond. It's not going to show any changes for a long time, but then all of a sudden it is. So when I look at carbon emissions, we need to eliminate carbon emissions.
Got it, Ron. We're right up against a break, so we're going to skedaddle for a minute. Folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm John Gordon, and we have a special guest. Our brother David is taking a little break this week, certainly a well-deserved break. And with us is the Chief Sustainability Officer of the Home Depot, Mr. Ron Jarvis. Ron, thanks for being with us this morning.
Oh, John, thank you for having me.
We are thrilled. And hey, I had to cut short real quick to make the break, but you were talking about what are the three big things you ask the same question when you are at NC State. I think you are an alum of NC State, and they're having a pretty good year, if I recall.
Right. Yes, they are. They are.
So you were talking about just pouring a thimbleful of a poison or chemical into a 2-acre lake, and initially not much, but then long-term, pretty significant impacts. And I think you were relating that to carbon emissions, right?
I was, because I have many people, you know, ask me, and then I go all over the world and look at different parts of pollution in big cities versus, you know, small country towns. And people go, you know, it's just not here. It doesn't matter. And I go back to, you know, any little bit of pollution that we can stop, we should, because, you know, it's a great world that we live in and we need to protect it. So, and the great news is, you know, everyone's talking about it. We're not blindly going down into the next generation or the next century saying everything's great, we don't need to change it. We're in the process of making wholesale changes across the board. And as we look at our transportation, and you know, the two biggest carbon emitters that we have as society is heating and cooling where we live and work. So energy produced and energy plants, mm-hmm, and transportation. And as we, you know, get our hands around those two and reduce the carbon emissions, you know, that's going to be a huge, huge relief on the environmental impacts in the world.
So talk, I guess, get us some perspective on one of the things that you're thinking about because we talked about at the very beginning, you said you don't think of the term sustainability or ESG or all those things that are like just trying to get your arms around a big aspect of something. Because you said each company that you talk to, and by the way, congratulations, awesome that vendors are now competing to have the most positive impact on the environment or the least negative impact, and it's part of their competitive pitch. So congratulations for that. But you warned that, like, you really had to look at each individual company, what they do and what the impact would be. So can you give us an example of a situation where somebody might come and say, hey, I'm green because, and you're like, well, maybe not so much because.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And John, that's a great example. In 2007, we sat down and said, we need to create a program, because you hear, and I'm like any other consumer. I mean, I hear stuff and I go, what the heck does that even mean? Mm-hmm. And I say that a lot. What the heck does that even mean? And so we said, we're going to create a program where we're going to identify all the products inside of Home Depot that have less of an impact than standard products. We're going to call it Eco Options. So we sent out a note to 9,000 different suppliers and said, tell us everything that you have that's green. We're going to start a new green category at Home Depot. Well, as those came back in, and at the time, we had about 140,000 items, SKUs in Home Depot. And as we sent that out, 76,000 came back as green. Uh-huh. Now, each individual store, like the Pineville store, had 35,000 items in the store. We just got a list from our supplier saying 76,000 of the items that we carry were green. I said, great, we'll just change the name to Green Depot. But before we do that, let's put a filter on these and go through those. Of the 76,000 that our suppliers told us were green products, 2,000 made Eco Options.
Wow.
So 74,000 were somebody looking at it and taking the liberty to say, this is green because of this. Like, we have a hardware tool that supplier told us that it was green because the box was recyclable. And we said, that's not going to work. We put some very high standards around what's green. It has to have a validated reduction of environmental impact on the earth than all the standard products. So that's one thing. When someone comes into us and says, let's talk about our ESG program where we support sustainability, take paint, for instance. If you had a paint manufacturer, and I've had, you know, some suppliers come in to us and say, here's our new model. We have a platform to reduce the impact of our products. We're going to save the world. And the way that we're doing it is we have smaller pallet sizes. So you can get more paint on the truck. So therefore, as we ship paint to your stores, we're reducing our carbon emissions because we have more product. And I go, time out. I kind of care about the carbon emissions from your production and your shipping, but not much. My bigger concern is VOC. When you walk into a room, it's just been painted, you know, how many volatile organic compounds are in the air? How much pollution am I breathing? What type of chemicals did you put in this paint that my family's going to be exposed to? That's what I want you to work on, because that is your true environmental impact. And if you look at the five categories that we've said, that is chemical exposure. So that's one of the things that we do, where we go down to the nitty gritty of what the environmental impacts are of the product. And we talk to the vendor in those terms and not get in sustainability. There's a lot of shiny objects that you can hear that you chase and you run off, like ocean's plastic. That's something that Americans are really, when they look at the shiny objects, they say, okay, I'm going to save the world and I'm going to paper straws instead of plastic straws in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, you have to understand where the plastics ocean comes from to know if that's really material at this point and something you need to work on to save the ocean's plastic, or you just want to reduce the plastic use in Charlotte.
Got it.
So that's the way we look at it. We really dig into the details.
I love that theory, because by the original vendor premise, I am GQ material. Like, I should be on GQ, NGQ as a model, because I have a really nice suit and it's pressed well.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. What I'd like to do when we come back is dive a little bit deeper into the whole idea of what you do and the impacts on the environment. But instead of I say, and this is what they are, let's talk about what you do. I think when you and I talked about it, it was like walk the talk. And so I'd like to dive into that when we come back, Ron, if that'd be good.
Great.
Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back to answer your questions at 704-570-1110 right after this break. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon, and our guest this morning is our Chief Sustainability Officer, or the Home Depot's Chief Sustainability Officer, Ron Jarvis. Ron, thanks again for joining.
Thank you, John.
So we were talking a little bit about, well, we've been talking a lot about the whole concept of environmental impacts and so on. And the Home Depot is like massive. And there's, I forget how many touch points you said that we have. And, but I want to talk, we used to, back in the day, there was probably some different ways we said this, but fundamentally the message was walk the walk. Walk the talk. And you've taken that literally, right, in some of the stuff going on. Can you share a little bit of what's going on with that?
Yeah, one of the things that we're working on, when walk, and the reason that, Home Depot says walk the talk, it is, you can talk about what you're going to do forever.
Mm-hmm.
But until you start doing what you're talking about, you're not making any progress. So as we look at walk the talk, our talk is like today to consumers, to individuals, to our suppliers, hey, you need to work on your product. Can we reduce some of the chemicals? Can we move the forestry resources from, maybe an area that's suspect to a more sustainable forest market? Can you look at where you're shipping it? Can we ship it less, therefore reducing carbon emissions from shipping? So mm-hmm. we're talking a lot about, what can our suppliers do? So we look at it and say, but what are we doing as a company? So, and when you have a company that has 500,000, employees, there is a lot of entrepreneurs. There's a lot of self-starters inside the company that look and say, hey, is there a better way to do this? Can we change what we're doing operationally to have less of an impact on the environment than we're having today? Whether that's, change, you remember the old home centers, our doors, especially in the lumber department, we had those really slow-moving, chain-driven doors.
Right.
So you'd push the button, and it'd take it 10 minutes for the 24-foot door to open. I was standing in Muncie, Indiana, in the store one day, and it was 19 degrees outside. And we have, a big front door in the front of the store and a big door in the back door in the lumber aisle so we can bring lumber in the back and take it out the front. And I'm standing there in the aisle, and all of a sudden I hear the chain start in the front of the store. I said, oh, the lumber door is going to open. It's going to be kind of chilly when that opens. And about 10 seconds later, I heard the back door start. And I said, oh, no, we're going to create a vortex in here of cold air. And it was probably, just a couple of minutes. And we changed the temperature in that store probably 15 degrees. And, you look at that and you go, how do we? And it was, employees said, hey, let's get better doors. Let's get doors that go up and down real fast so we don't have this thing. Let's put vestibules in front of the store so we can stop the wind from coming in. We open the doors. Let's look at something that's a management system for our energy use so we can't have someone go in and override the system and, use a lot of energy that we don't need. So those are things that we do that's driven from, the store level all the way through the different enterprises that we walk the talk. And we capture those and, we make those public to other associates. Say, hey, look at what your employees, your fellow employees are doing. When you see something, do something, make it better. And we support that because all the good ideas come from the stores.
Yes.
And walk the talk gives us that opportunity to push that out there till we get more of those ideas socialized.
So I get asked, and as you've helped me with a customer, but I get asked a lot about what do we do and how do you measure like the ES, ESG things. Are there some specific things? Because I learned very quickly, it is the monster, you know, that we all think it to be, and then dialing it down into those five categories is helpful. What are some of the things that, I guess, like from a, we use cardboard, we've been baling cardboard. What about like recycling and repurposing things? I take my batteries to the Home Depot. I take my CFLs. I don't have any of them anymore, but took them to the Home Depot. They recycle those. What are the kind of things going on from a recycling perspective?
Yeah, we do have in every store rechargeable battery recycling. So especially for our pros and contractors who use a lot of handheld battery-operated drills and products like that, we have a program where we charge those batteries. I think we're over 1 million a year now that we're recycling through the stores, all from customers. We have CFLs. You know, the mercury, we decided to put the CFL recycle program intact whenever we first started selling out of CFLs. Mm-hmm. And we said, you know, there's just a little trace of mercury in CFLs. We do not want those ended up in the landfill. We want to recycle those back. So we have a recycle program that takes the glass, takes the metal, takes the chemicals, the gas, and they recycle everything. So that's more of a, you know, consumer-facing recycle program. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at the store, we go, okay, what are we doing in the store? Well, we have, you know, waste coming out of the back store. Not a lot of waste. I mean, you don't go into a Home Depot and use stuff and leave waste. You go into Home Depot and buy stuff. But a lot of the things that you buy came in a bigger carton. So we had to break that carton down, break the pallet down. What do we do with all that waste? We now have a couple of recycle programs. We have cardboard in every store, plastic in every store. We've now hooked up with one of our biggest suppliers, Trex. So all the shrink wrap that comes into the stores, every single store has a shrink wrap program. We take it back to our distribution centers, and then we ship it to Trex. Trex takes the product from the Home Depot, puts it back into their factory supply chain, and they manufacture new Trex products, Trex decking, and they send it back to us. So it's great to walk through a store and see a trash bin full of shrink wrap, knowing that's coming back to the store in a couple of months as finished goods.
Wow.
And we have a couple of different suppliers that we're working on trying to get that program up, saying, okay, what else do we have in the back of the store that we can turn into product and create a circular economy?
So, how do you monitor impacts, or how do you measure that something good is happening?
Well, you have to look at, you know, the reports that you can run. How much products come out of the back of the store? Is it paper? Is it cardboard? Is it shrink wrap? Is it plastic? And so you calculate all that by store. So you come up with some big numbers, and you mm-hmm. go, okay, now that we've got this volume, because consolidation usually does create value. You know, it's four pieces of cardboard is not worth anything, but you get a couple of bales of cardboard and all of a sudden you have some value that you can sell back and, you know, create a revenue stream and take that product out of the landfill and turn it back into other products. So we track that by, you know, as a company, how much do we have each year? And then we track it year over year to see how much did we recycle? How much can we reconstitute into a circular economy product that comes back? And, you know, we're trying to do that with the cardboard and the plastic and the metal. We don't have a lot of metal in the stores, but when we do, you know, we're working at programs to figure out how we can recycle that. And we have a lot of pilots happening throughout, mm-hmm. you know, at least the U.S. and Canada, where we'll sit down with a supplier. And, like, we rolled out a program in Seattle where all the non-treated wood, all the live goods, any dead plants that we have, any dirt, soil, we send back to a supplier that manufactures mulch and compost, and they take our waste, put it through their process again, and sell it back to us as mulch and compost. So we think those are programs that, you know, that's how you create a circular economy, and that's how you, you know, take the waste stream out.
So it's really just common sense, and for some of it, just taking a look at what you got and making good decisions about it. Ron, we're right up against the break. One of the things that we talk about each week is like a Home Depot product of the week. And maybe when we come back from the break, I have an idea, but I would like to hear from a green environmental impact perspective, if you have a particular product or group of products that you would say, hey, we love this because. So maybe we'll take the break to think about that. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a little break here. If you got questions for us, we're still happy to answer them. We're at 704-570-1110, or you can go to askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button and send us a note that way. We'll always take care of that. Don't go away. Grab your coffee, grab your questions, and we'll be back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave right after this.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back, everybody. This is hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. If you're just joining, my brother David Doble's not with us this week. But I've had another guy that I've known almost as long as David, Ron Jarvis. Ron is the Chief Sustainability Officer for the Home Depot. Ron, thanks for being with us this morning.
Oh, thank you, John. Thank you for having me.
Ron, before we go to the product of the week question, kind of from a environmental impacts perspective, a caller called in, didn't want to be on the air, and asked us to talk about recycling plastic bags. Let's talk about recycling plastic bags.
Yeah, in most of the stores, we do have a recycle program for plastic bags where you can bring the plastic bags, you know, up front and leave those. We'll take those and send those back to the recycle center. And, you know, the recycle the plastic bags is an issue that most retailers have worked on for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do we get a better bag? We have actually quite a few stores in North Carolina where, you know, for municipality policies that the plastic bags have been banned, and we have either paper bags or cardboard boxes that we'll give. And most, you know, a lot of times when you go to Home Depot, you really don't even need a bag. So, you know, our cashiers are supposed to ask, do you want a bag? Most of the products you can just carry out in your hand. So that's, we have seen, you know, plastic bag reduction over the years. And, you know, it's our goal, which I think every retailer's goal is to help eliminate those.
Yeah. It's kind of like a catch 22. It feels like it's like, do you want, no one plastic, give me paper. Well, paper, you're going to cut out a tree. It is frustrating. Can those plastics be recycled like Trex does? I think that's a different plastic, isn't it?
It is a different plastic, but it can be recycled. Hmm. So it just goes to a different, you know, recycle center.
All right, cool. So I want to talk about a product of the week. And maybe before I do that, let's just say, so if you were talking, say, hey, here's of all the environmental impacts I think about and all the products inside a Home Depot store, here's one or some or a group of products that I think are really good. And we're going to call that the Ron Jarvis Home Depot product of the week.
Oh, that is a tough lift, John. And the reason I say that is because, it's, you know, I'm from North Carolina, up around North Wilkesboro.
Yes.
And so I'll go to family reunions and I'll sit down and talk to my family, and everybody has a different thing that they're concerned about. Mm-hmm. You know, some people they just want to reduce the energy use inside of their house. Others want to do everything they can to reduce carbon emissions. Some are worried about healthy home, chemical uptake. So if I say one that's not,
you're going to be in trouble.
Purview, in their wheelhouse, yeah, and they go, I don't care. I don't care about that, but I do care about this. So I look at it, you know, what is the assortment of products? Mm-hmm. And if your goal is to reduce carbon emissions and reduce the energy use of your house, no doubt the thing that you want to do is to switch out to LED bulbs. As we saw people go from incandescent to CFLs to LEDs, you know, there's still a lot of incandescent bulbs in the sockets. And when you go from an incandescent to a CFL, you save about 75%. When you go from the incandescent to an LED, you save about 80%. And LEDs do not require mercury to light. So, you know, in my mind, they have a couple of environmental benefits that you'd want to switch out. And when you do switch out, now that the costs have come down so much, you save, going from incandescent to LEDs, you'll save $125 a year. Just in you know, the cost of lighting for your house. Yeah. So, and you can switch the average house out for probably between $35 and $55. So, you know, within 6 months, you've got your money back. After that, for the 10, 15, 20 years that the LEDs last, you know, you're going to be saving $125 a year. And huge impact on the environment. So that's probably number one. Second would be a water heater blanket. You know, if you have an older water heater, check with utility. Make sure that you can put a water heater blanket around your water heater. Huge savings there. And then programmable thermostats. Most people leave the house at the same time every day. And so there is vacancy inside of the house. And if you can program your thermostat, you know, huge savings, like $100 a year estimated savings if you can do that. So things along those lines are around energy savings. And if your cousin says, nope, I'm all about healthy home, how do I make my home healthier? You know, there's a lot of products that you can buy. You know, for the first thing, we recommend, you know, get the dust out of the house, control the dust, you know, sweep more, vacuum more, keep nicotine out of the house. And then look at, you know, there's tests that we have and some municipalities have for radon and lead paint. If your house is built before 1978 and you do anything in the house where you're disrupting the paint, you definitely want to have a lead paint test to make sure there's not leaded paint there in the house. And then, you know, probably after that would be organics. So any type of organics that you're using inside your house, there's safer choice chemicals that's designated from the EPA. And luckily, Home Depot just won the Retailer of the Year for Safer Choice for 2021 for the products that we offer. So we do offer a lot of products that, you know, if you want to reduce the environmental impact in cleaning your home, you can do that through Safer Choice. And then also look at your organics and pesticides and herbicides.
Wow. Okay. So that gives me an idea, Ron. In case this Home Depot thing doesn't work out, maybe you could do a reality, an environmental reality show called A Holidays at the Jarvis House. Be interesting.
That would be quite the show.
All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, there's one more product category that I want to talk about, and we'll do that. If you've got questions, 704-570-1110, give us a call. We'll answer it when we come back from these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. Dave had taken a little break this week, but we have awesome partner in his stead, Ron Jarvis. Ron is the Chief Sustainability Officer for the Home Depot. Ron, welcome back. Thank you again for spending this portion of your Saturday morning with us.
Oh, thank you, John. My pleasure.
I can tell. That's what amazes me. When you talk about this stuff, like, you just light up.
It's exciting.
Hey, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's exciting.
It really is. And as you say, there's all kinds of reasons for optimism, just all the innovation. And so I am excited. So the call that we took, or the caller who had a question about plastic bags, was not talking about shopping bags in grocery stores, apparently about big bags that pesticides come in that are plastic. That caller, if you want to call him back and discuss it, fine. If not, shoot us a note at questions@askjohnanddave.com, and we'll get you directed to the right place. Ron, I presume that the same principles apply. It's plastic, and you take it to where plastics get recycled.
You would take it to where plastics get recycled, and so yes, I don't know if there's another question with that.
I don't either. But
we look at all the different types of packaging that we have. We have a packaging team that studies packaging, and we work very close with that group on, you know, sustainability initiatives with, you know, any private brands and also public national brands that we have, always looking for ways to improve. And as we said earlier, John, when sustainability became a topic that's discussed in boardrooms across, you know, all companies, whether it's a small startup company or a big conglomerate, everyone started getting better. And so the innovation in bags, whether it's recycled bags or moving to some type of fiber bags, we see that every day and every year. So there is definitely optimism in the momentum and the pace and the places that we're going.
I absolutely am excited for where this can go, and I am optimistic. I truly believe and I guess at the risk of sound patriotic, American Ingenuity. I think it's great stuff. So, Ron, I have kind of a funny story, or it was funny to me, but I work with very, very large property investor folks, people who buy single-family homes. There's a few folks. Anyway, I got a call, and the customer said, "Hey, John, I need to know what faucets I should put in my home so that I can, or my homes, so that we can be, you know, conscious of water consumption and so on. So can you give me a list of which faucets to buy and which faucets not to buy?" So I, Ron, as I always do or frequently do, I called up Art and Logan and said, "Hey, I need this information." And they gave me an interesting answer, one that I didn't anticipate. Which faucets should you buy and not buy if you're at the Home Depot?
Yeah, and that's, you know, we look across the board at faucets, and WaterSense is an EPA program that looks at what the use of the product is and can give certifications and designations of this product saves water. Mm-hmm. So when you go to Home Depot, if you're getting ready to switch out your bath faucets, your shower heads, we moved all those to WaterSense. So when you buy those inside the store at Home Depot, then you're buying the water savings. We didn't, you know, we figured out years ago that if we could ever get to the point to where we, as customers, go into a store and don't have to choose between good and bad or good and evil or save the planet or destroy the planet, if we could help make those decisions, so where they come in, they look at the selection of faucets or they look at the selection of toilets and they go, "Oh, these are great. Now do I have to be worried about which one saves water and which ones don't?" We did that for them. And so now when you go in and you buy the faucets, if it's a bath faucet, it is WaterSense. If it's a toilet, it's WaterSense. You're going to be getting high-efficiency, low-flow toilets. Now, if you're buying a kitchen faucet, because if you think of what a kitchen faucet does, in most cases, you're filling up the sink, you're filling up a pot, you need a gallon of water. Energy Star or WaterSense and EPA does not regulate or put regulations around those because, you know, whether using a low-flow faucet or a regular flow, a pint of water is still a pint of water. A pot of water to bake your spaghetti in is still a pot of water. So, but when you look into things that do have the regulations and you can get a better low flow product like shower heads, toilets, or bath faucets, we have those 100% WaterSense.
Awesome. That's what I like. So it's like if you went to a store and bought an electrical device of some manner, you know, it's got some, the Underwriters Lab is kind of like the moniker, the gold standard, if you will. And so you don't expect to buy anything that doesn't, you know, meet Underwriters Lab approval. I love the fact that I can go into the Home Depot, pick a faucet, and know that I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to, as you say, choose between good and evil. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we've done that with a lot of products. So we've, you know, there's any carpet that you buy from Home Depot, you know, there's certain things that we do inside of the carpet program. Any paint, there's chemicals that we've, you know, taken out of paint that you cannot put into the paint that you sell to Home Depot. Same thing in insulation. So, you know, we look across the board and say, how can we reduce the impacts? And let's do it. And it's not something where there's a big demand for customers where they come in and say, okay, I only want to buy the paint where you've reduced the formaldehyde. But we do think they want low VOC paint, so we've, you know, transitioned all of our paint to low or no VOCs. So okay. We do that across the board in a lot of different categories.
All right, John calling in. John has a question about recycling batteries. John, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I appreciate you taking my call.
You bet.
I have an opportunity to put in like a bank of solar panels for my house and another property.
Mm-hmm.
What happens after the useful life of the batteries? I know Home Depot and some places have like kits. What are the recommendations for the batteries after the useful life is up?
Ron, do you know
the batteries for solar panels?
Yes.
I'm having trouble hearing.
So he was just asking you, John, you're talking about the batteries that store energy or electricity acquired through solar power, correct?
Yes. Okay. I mean, everybody wants, you know, there's everything coming out solar. Well, what happens to the batteries after their useful life is up?
Ron, the question is, what happens to those batteries after their useful life is up? Or even like a Tesla has, you know, like I forget how many years life for their battery, and then it's got to be replaced. What happens to those?
Yeah, this in that industry, you know, the whole solar transition to battery industry is working on different ways to do that. The problem there is, as I talked before about consolidation creates value, there's not many of those. So there's not a lot of places you can take them now, but the industries are working on how do they piecemeal this together to where they do have a recycle program. And, you know, not many people have reached that point to where they have the batteries from the solar products. And as they do, John, this is just like the London in 1870 or 90, where people are saying there's going to be batteries piled up everywhere. That won't happen. We will innovate ways to recycle those batteries once it gets to the point to where there is volume there. So I have confidence in that industry as well, that recycle program will be up and running when the time comes and we have those batteries.
So I think the biggest challenge, John, right now is less about what do you do with those batteries and more about how do you figure out how to get them so that there are more people using them and then there's a mass of batteries from which you can extract reusable product, then they're recycling. There's a benefit to recycling. I'm not sure if that clears up all your answer, John, but I think the challenge is there isn't a solid program for those batteries at this point.
Well, what about things like the recycled plastic, like phones and TVs and stuff? Don't they go back to China in container ships, and then we get them back in products that we buy?
Not really. China has stopped. There's like five different ratings for a container or a barge or a box of plastics, whether it's there's integrity to it, which means it's all 100% plastic that can be recycled. You know, it hasn't been infiltrated with dirt and rocks and metal and things like that. And China stopped taking most of our plastic a few years ago. So now most of that is still in the U.S. and we're putting together recycle programs. And there's a very, very, very small percentage of any plastic that goes back to China.
Okay. Hey, Ron, hang tight, John, hang tight. We're right up against the break. I've got to take it, folks. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a little break and be back right after these messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon, and I have a special guest, David, taking a break. Special guest this week, the Chief Sustainability Officer for the Home Depot, Mr. Ron Jarvis. Ron, thank you again for being with us this morning.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, John, the caller, John, was interested in first the batteries from solar and then plastic going to China. I didn't follow all of that. It sounded like you did. And we had to go to a break. So I'm not sure what the concern was with plastic going to China.
Yeah, and John, it's if I could just take a minute just to talk about that issue. And
sure,
a lot of Americans, they do think that all of our plastic goes to China. That's not the case. A few years ago, China stopped taking any of the contaminated plastic. So when you think of your plastic bin, like we have a plastic bin at the house and I'll walk by and there's the milk jug, there's plastic egg carton, there's a lot of plastic in there, but I'll look down and someone's stolen a styrofoam cup, or someone dropped a spoon, or someone put a piece of wood in it. What was happening was, as China started going through this, they were finding that a lot of the containers came over were contaminated. They didn't have integrity in plastic. And they were saying, you know, we're just getting too much junk. So they said, we're only going to take the top tier of your plastic recycle products. We'll turn that into products and ship it back across the U.S. or to the world. But if you look at the percentage of that, you know, the numbers that I've looked at, and these aren't Home Depot verified numbers. These are just numbers that are out there that people estimate that plastic is used and disposed of. In the U.S., it looks like that we, you know, we generate about 42 million tons of plastic a year in waste. So think of all the things that, that you buy and that you use and that turns into waste. You either put it in a recycle bin or put it into the trash bin. It's about 42 million tons. And if you look at the tons that have been going to China and other countries, you know, it's usually less than 2%. So that means 98 to 99, maybe even more, of the plastic that we generate as waste in the U.S. stays in the U.S. Okay. So, you know, we need to make sure that we're putting together programs like we talked about earlier. You know, at Home Depot, all the shrink wrap and the plastic waste that comes out of the back of the stores, we ship to consolidate in our distribution centers and send that to Trex Decking. Trex uses that waste material into their products, and they manufacture the new composite decking and send it back to us as finished goods product. We just signed up a deal this week with one of our big cardboard suppliers to where they're going to be taking all the cardboard out of the back of Home Depot stores. I think that initially they're getting quite a few hundred, less than 1,000 stores, and then they will be taking that cardboard, turn it back into moving boxes, leaf bags, and things like that to sell back to Home Depot.
Okay.
So that's, you know, what we need to control the waste stream inside of the U.S. and either get it to the landfill. You don't want to have a country where you mismanage your waste and it ends up in the streets and, you know, the sidewalks and in the creeks and the rivers. You want to try to keep it clean. And we do. As a country, we manage most of our waste. So it goes into the landfill. Whether landfills are good or bad is another topic of discussion.
Right. Okay. All right, so I guess the plastic thing is huge because, well, I guess. I know it's huge, but, and you can say, John, that's a dumb question. I'm not going to answer it. But you said something earlier about, you know, a plastic straw versus a paper straw. And, like, I'm old enough to remember, like, the original paper straws that had wax on them. And then I was really happy when I got plastic, and now I'm not happy again because they're paper. Am I, like... am I some sort of communist who hates the world?
No, I don't think you. I don't think you hate the world, John. I think you don't like the feel of the paper on your lips, which is what happens to most people when they realize that they have that straw. And you know, we look at it as a much broader issue for plastic recycling, and. You know, anything that we can reduce the environmental impact and move to a product that has less of an environmental impact than the product that we're trying to replace is good. So you want to move to those directions. But you also have to look at where, like, people come to me all the time and they go, hey, we need to buy Ocean's Plastics product. Well, the Ocean's Plastics products that are out there today are not taken from the ocean. It's taken from... I think the definition of Ocean's Plastics is it needs to be recycled within 50 miles of the shoreline. So it's, you know, Miami, Wilmington, New York. So anywhere it's close, if it's recycled from there, it can be called Ocean's Plastics. Now, there's a ton of ocean in the plastic that we need to get control of. We need to, number one, get it out and stop putting it in. But I think the latest number I saw was right at 90% of the plastic in the ocean comes from Asia, mostly Southeast Asia, and Africa. So how do we work with those countries to reduce the amount of plastic, you know, upstream that's getting into rivers that's flowing out into the ocean? And so that's, you know, we don't, you know, it'd be so easy for companies to say, okay, to fix the ocean's plastic scenario, we went from plastic straws to paper straws in our cafeterias. Okay, that's great that you did that, but that has zero impact on ocean's plastics. So how do we figure out what do we address upstream in the countries that are dumping into the rivers that's going to the ocean to stop it there? And so that's where, you know, when we look at areas that we can have impacts, you say, okay, that's where you start.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, I just think paper straws suck. That was a pun. All right, we got to take a break on that happy note. Folks, we're taking calls, 704-570-1110. We're talking about we're talking with the Chief Sustainability Officer of the Home Depot, Mr. Ron Jarvis. We're going to wrap on our last segment on a couple quick points. So don't go away. We'll be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. And our guest today is Ron Jarvis. Ron is the Chief Sustainability Officer for the Home Depot. Ron, thank you again for being with us. I should have asked early on, there's a lot of things that you've shared and talked about, and there's a lot of good programs and information. Is there a website or something that I feel like you had something where you kept a lot of information current?
Yes, we do, John. There's the Home Depot homepage where you can go on and look up Built from Scratch.
Okay.
And look at our, or you can just Google Home Depot ESG Report 2021. And in there, we try to be extremely transparent with our operations of a company. You know, how much carbon are we emitting as a company? Our scope 1, 2s, and 3s, which is, you know, products that we, or things that we own that emit carbon, energy that we use. So we try to be very transparent in getting that information out there for people that want to see it. And then also we talk about products and other things that we're doing around social and governance of the company. There is a website called EcoActions. That it was our EcoOptions website. We moved that into more of an action-styled program that we rolled out April 22nd, which is Earth Day of this year, 2021. Mm-hmm. So customers can go on there, and we're trying to create a repository there that if you want to know, you know, what is all the talk around, say, carpets or cabinets or paint or what are some of the issues around products that I buy every day? Can I find a website where I have, you know, the vendors tell me what they're doing and get into the details, and then also have a point of view from Home Depot or others? So we just have launched that website. Joy Hicks, who works on our inside of our environmental program, is spearheading that to make sure that we get information out there that customers can find and become a repository for everything environmental when it comes to products. So it's in its infancy stage, but we see that being something in the future that customers that just want to educate themselves can go do. And again, that was EcoActions.
EcoActions. Is there a particular project or something in there that's near and dear to your heart?
Well, you know, we have a whole section there of green projects. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you're working around your house and you say, okay, that I care about chemicals around my house, how do I reduce those? There's sections in there on garden. With COVID last year, we said, okay, we're going to have a little garden here at our house. So I carved out some space and we put just a small garden in, and we decided that it's going to be all organic. So my wife pushed hard to you know, grow everything this year organically. So she, you know, leaned on the website, leaned on information that we have out there to say, okay, how do you keep tomatoes to where I don't walk out there one day and they're completely eaten up with something, and how do I do it organically? So, yeah, that's probably the organic gardening and the organic different types of any type of landscape efforts that you need on the organic side is there, as well as interior healthy home cleaning products through products like Safer Choice from the EPA.
Okay. I feel like in the conversation this morning, Ron, you did clarify a lot of things. And I know, like, when you guys talk about this stuff, I feel like there's a lot of myths or a lot of clarifications that are good. We're in our last segment. Maybe think about two things out loud with me, if you would. Number one, is there a particular topic that you say, hey, let's just clear the air on this, no pun intended. Or, hey, here's some things that I think are very specific that your listeners can do to have a positive or a less negative impact on the environment.
Well, I think that, you know, when people think of us, they think of Home Depot, they think of their home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you cannot, for the most part, unless you do put solar panels or wind in your yard, you're at the mercy of the grid. Mm-hmm. So whatever your energy provider is where you live, you know, once you build your house, you're at the mercy of the grid as far as the energy that you use and the emissions that come from creating that energy. But you can do things around your house. And probably the first thing that I'd recommend people do is just maybe have an energy audit. There's companies out that will do it. Also, I know Duke Power and Duke Energy, some of the others up there, will come out to your home and do the energy audit. And there's a lot of ways that you can seal around your windows, you can seal the ducts, put in more insulation, and you can reduce, and it does two things. It reduces the impact on the environment, also reduce your operational cost of running your monthly home by reducing your energy bills. So there's two positives that happen from that. And that's probably the first thing would be to seal and insulate your home. And then after that, you know, it's programmable thermostats, water heaters, coolers, blankets, things like that to reduce the energy use. And the other would be if it's healthy home, just look at what you're bringing into your home. You know, it's once a house is built, it's all about what are you getting out of your trunk and out of your back seat every week bringing into your home, and how can you make those to where they have less of an impact? And if you do the research, you know, chances are you can find the products on our shelves that will get you to where you want to go to reduce the impact.
Awesome. I'm kind of cruising through all of our notes here, and we didn't spend a lot of time talking about lumber. Is that, I remember a point in time where that was a big issue. Is that like resolved? Are we in a really good spot from a lumber and reforestation perspective?
Yep. And John, there's two different views to every single environmental concern that's out there.
Yeah.
And at one point, it was a big issue for Home Depot and other retailers when, you know, the environmental groups were coming to Home Depot saying, hey, you're destroying the earth, you're destroying the global forest and the high conservation value forest. And we didn't know. We relied on our suppliers. We relied on the vendors to tell us, you know, that the wood's good. But in starting in 2000, we did a deep dive into all of our wood purchases to find out, you know, we did two parallel paths. Number one is where does the wood come from and what's the species? And number two is what are the issues in that country, or basically for that matter, all countries in the world, so we know where we shouldn't buy from and where it's okay to buy from. Now, to me, when someone says, what's the best replacement for wood? I say the best replacement for wood is not plastic or metal. It's sustainable wood. So as long as you have a sustainable wood where the forest, you know, is managed, it's cut, it's grown back, you know, it's not turned into a parking place or a mall.
Right.
You know, that's sustainable wood. And the world has, you know, if you look at our total deforestation that we've had over the past few years, mm-hmm. you know, probably in 1995, we were losing about 26 million acres a year to net deforestation. I think in 2020, it's estimated the number is around, 8 million, 11 million. So it's come down dramatically. So we're on the right path. And, you know, we look at, you know, probably 86% of our wood comes from North America, which is a very sustainable forest, and the rest we manage throughout the world.
So the path that we're on, is it likely that that was a pretty serious reduction in loss of forests, is that path or is that trajectory sustainable? So we're likely to get net neutral?
I think we'll probably, it all depends on, you know, how much is lost to urbanization and urban sprawl. That never comes back. So, but the areas that are forest-driven, you know, economies where, mm-hmm. and if you look, as I said, you know, roughly 86% of our wood comes from North America. I think we have another 6% that comes from South America, but that's not from the Amazon. We don't take any wood out of the Amazon. That's from plantations in Brazil and Chile, where it's pine and eucalyptus plantations, which if you think of a plantation, takes 15 years for it to grow. All during that growth season, it's sequestering carbon. So it's taking carbon emissions out of the air. So, you know, that's sustainable forestry. That's also good for the environment.
That makes sense. All right. Wow. Ron, thank you for being with us. The 2 hours are fundamentally done. They go screaming by. They always do every single week. But we have topics like this that are pretty great. It feels like it goes even faster. The bottom line, I think, Ron, is number one is get educated. Clearly, you have done that, and you've made resources available. Eco Actions, something we can check out on the Home Depot website. I encourage people to do that. Thanks for making time for us this morning. Thanks for all that you have done, as you say, from the very early days of your engagement with the Home Depot to be aware of environmental issues. I would argue you've made a very impactful and sustainable change. Folks, it's 2 more hours gone, and you know that David and I like to remind you at the end of each show that we think that the most important kind of home improvement you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week. Ron Jarvis, thank you so much for all you do, and we'll see you next week on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.